You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Marlins reporter, Joe Frisaro. And Joe, it seems like every week now on the podcast, we're talking about one guy in particular, and that is Jose Fernandez, and he was at it again on Sunday. 14 strikeouts, ties a career high, and he outduels Matt Harvey, a guy who had obviously been struggling, but the last couple starts looked a lot better. But Jose Fernandez has done it this season consistently against good teams as well. I know we've talked about him over and over and over again, but does anything stand out to you from Sunday's performance against the Mets?
Oh, yeah. No walks, Tim. That's what stands out. A couple of things. The no walks and just how devastating his slider is. 14 strikeouts, 12 via the slider. And, you know, just obviously that is his wipeout pitch, that, you know, his separator. Obviously he throws 96 to 98, but, you know, he apparently also yesterday really spotted his fastball much better. It was funny, talking post-game with JT Realmuto, the catcher, he said that, you know, middle innings, Jose said something to the effect, yeah, my fastball doesn't feel good today, because he wasn't, you know, bringing 97, 98 regularly. And JT told him, yeah, your velocity may not be there, but you're spotting it better than you ever had all year. And he was saying it's a lot better to be 94, 95 down and on the corners rather than 98 in the middle. So the fact that Jose is becoming more of a pitcher and not just this overpowering force that he was as a rookie in 2013 and as he's tried to be even post his Tommy John surgery in 14. But the fact that he didn't walk anybody and to strike out that many, that was really an impressive outing.
Yeah, dominant stuff. As good as really any outing this season by any pitcher, I think. And like you said, if you're 94 and hitting your spots and you can reach back for a little extra, I mean, that's tremendous. And I thought,
yeah, once he learns that, Tim, I mean, we're talking him and Kershaw.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get to that point. You know, obviously Arrieta, I can't be remiss there. If he does that, he will be in that conversation with those guys.
Absolutely. He also had some nice words for his closer after the game, A.J. Ramos. Fernandez saying, Ramos, I guess he thinks he should be an all-star. Is that a fair case, do you think, at this point, Joe? Does A.J. Ramos have a case?
It's a really good campaign manager right there, right? I mean, because if you look at the Marlins right now, you would have to think at 9-2 and a, you know, that ERA shrinking closer to the 2.0 mark for Jose, that he will be in his second all-star game. That's kind of becoming a given. And the Marlins have some other guys as we're looking for, you know, with another month, 5-6 weeks before the balloting's complete. And, you know, you got the Ozunas, Yelich, those guys are having really good years. You even say Realmuto in terms of catchers is up there. But A.J. Ramos just quietly has been doing it for this team for a couple of years. And he's 18 for 18. I think it's 27 in a row going back to last year on a team that's been sub-500 for most of that time. Obviously, this year they're a little bit over right now and looking to make noise. You know, he's not the overpowering closer. He's a guy that's going to walk guys, which, you know, makes everybody a little nervous. But Timmy, this guy just seems to have a way of getting it done. And, you know, you look at guys and there's a confidence factor. You know, does the team have the confidence the guy will get the job done? And Ramos, we've seen him load the bases with no outs, get out of it, not just once, but, you know, through the years I've seen that. So for Jose to say that he's all-star worthy, that should at least make people look at it. You know, obviously there are bigger power arms out there in terms of closers, but he gives Terry Collins something to think about once, you know, decision time gets going.
Yeah, one thing that may stand in Ramos' way is the fact that Terry Collins has a closer who's pretty good as well.
Yeah, but he can't deal with, you know, A.J. Ramos can't worry about that. All
right.
He can worry about is making his name and doing what he can do. And the fact that Jose kind of put him in that conversation, it'll probably open eyes, and then they'll measure and figure out the deserving guys. But I don't think a lot of people before Jose said that were even thinking that way.
Yeah, it gets the conversation started. You mentioned that this team is, you know, a little over 500 and looking to make some noise. They've done this and they've hung in there the way they have despite really having Giancarlo Stanton at his best, and obviously he's a little hurt now. They gave him some time off on Sunday, the off day on Monday. Is he the difference right now between them really taking that next step? If he could get in that lineup, and I know he's hit the homers, but if he can be him.
You have to say yes, because you know this guy has the contract, has the reputation, has the track record, and is, you know, he's a three-time All-Star. He's an MVP runner-up, you know, a couple years back. He's a guy that is a face of the franchise and a face of the sport, and you need your players to hit more than 202, as we're in June. So clearly, and the Marlins have made it clear, Don Mattingly's made it clear, this team will not win. They may finish 500, but they will not go to the postseason unless Giancarlo is doing a big part of leading the way. So, you know, he is, as we've noted, for various reasons. He's been banged up. He's been, you know, he missed a week and didn't even go on the DL. You know, he had that collision a couple of weeks ago in Washington with Ozuna in the outfield, and immediately after that, the next game, he started an 0-for-19 with 16 strikeout streak. You know, there's a lot going on with Stanton, and I've maintained it, and I've been consistently saying it. I feel that if he is on the field enough, the numbers will follow. And sometimes being on the field enough isn't, I'm on the field for four games, if now two. You know, there's got to be some sort of consistency in play so he falls in a rhythm and gets that timing going. It's hard to get your timing going with two straight days off. But if this, you know, side issue, whatever exactly it is, whether it's an intercostal, whether it's a rib, whether it's an oblique, we don't know exactly what, maybe it's a little combination of everything, has affected him, then so be it, get him well. But this team isn't going to the playoffs unless Stanton's got 30 homers and 90 to 100 or more RBIs. And, you know, that to me is pretty clear.
Yeah, he certainly needs to get it in gear. And he has hit the power. It just needs to be a little more consistent. Now, the team, they called up Brian Ellington this week, Joe, a guy from, he was in AAA, technically their 25th-ranked prospect, but a guy who can really reach back and fire, I guess, upper 90s. He can touch 100. Now, he was pretty good late last season, right? What do they hope to get from him right now?
Oh, the same what you're just saying. If he throws strikes and is around the zone, that's a really big weapon. You know, he was a guy who came into the spring training, think he can make the team, and you know, I'm sure as part of the organization would have liked to have seen that happen. But you know, sometimes these guys try to impress too much, and it doesn't go as well as they want in spring training, and then they try to do more, and then everything compounds itself. But his last 5, 6, 7 outings, whatever it was in New Orleans, he wasn't walking people. The strikeout numbers were getting there. But just to have that big power arm to kind of add depth in the back of the bullpen is going to be really big, especially with Barraclough, who's this guy who's very similar to Ellington. And Barraclough has had his struggles throwing strikes and walking guys. He strikes out a ton of guys, but he also throws a lot of pitches and innings. And all people have to do, when they look at Barraclough, look at that walks and strikeouts per nine, and they'll kind of see the story. So if Ellington provides depth, if Barraclough's struggling, that would be a really, really big plus for this team.
Joe, the draft's coming up this week. It starts off on Thursday night, and then it's through Friday and Saturday on MLB Network, also MLB.com. The Marlins have, obviously, in the first round, a nice pick, number 7. Then there's a little lull because of trades, and they lost a pick for Wei-Yin Chen. So it, I think, puts more on that first pick. But number 7 seems like a spot in this draft where it might as well be number 2 or 3 because there's no standout player. There's a bunch of very good players. Is that do the Marlins have the kind of feeling that they could get a real good player at 7, maybe as good a player as the other teams that are drafting ahead of them?
I think that's very safe to say. Tim. And yeah, with 7, you know, some of the people are going to make the decisions for them, but you know, I think they could go a couple of ways. They could look at, you know, if they got a frontline starting pitcher, that guy could be, you know, really, really big for their future. Now, some of those might be high school arms, but I'm going to give you a couple of names, Tim, to keep an eye on. One, and this might be outside the box, you got Zach Collins sitting there at the University of Miami, a kid who I actually saw play high school ball a lot because he played at American Heritage High School here. the school that Eric Hosmer went to. So I've been to that school. I know the coach there. Bruce Aven used to be my son's hitting instructor when my son was growing up. And so I've been watching this kid. He's a catcher, left-handed powers at the University of Miami, who possibly could play some first base. He's a guy to keep an eye on. You got a high school pitcher out of Florence, Alabama, named Braxton Garrett, a left-hander who has real good upside. From what I understand, he has Scott Boras as his agent, but I think the Marlins are more inclined to do business with Boras these days. And then you've got guys like Delvin Perez. Some of these guys' names are kind of floating around. So I think they feel they're going to get a really good player. Maybe my sentiment would like to see them go with the left-handed power bat, Zach Collins. If he obviously got a really good catcher in JT Realmuto, but maybe you add another really good catcher in your system and with a chance to jump pretty high, and maybe he'll be like some of these other pretty good catchers that move to other positions. I think Bryce Harper comes to mind there. So Zach Collins could be someone real interesting to watch.
Yeah, Harper, Schwarber, there's definitely guys that have made that adjustment. I actually got to see Braxton Garrett pitch at the National High School Invitational. We were down there covering those games, Joe. And in his one start of the tournament, he was up against Zach Hess, who's another guy who's going to get drafted, a high school kid. And Hess threw a 7-inning no-hitter. Garrett threw an 8-inning shutout, and Garrett's team won in the 8th inning. So in extra innings, after Hess went 7 no-hit innings, Garrett hung in there. I think he gave up like 2 hits, but he showed a lot of heart as well. And he would certainly be an interesting guy. I know Jim Callis is very high on Braxton Garrett as well.
Yeah, I know he's attached there. And he's another guy in my old newspaper days. I worked in Florence, Alabama. So here with that area, it's been a while since I've been up there. But it's real encouraging to see the volume of talent. Obviously, they're saying there's no Harper or Strasburg types in this draft, but it seems like there are a lot of really good players. And you never know how they mature and get to the big leagues. I will tell you this, though, Tim. I know the Marlins, because that pick, as you noted earlier, they're picking 7th and then 84th, which is the 3rd round. So they got a big gap, and they're really doing their homework on the makeup of these players as well. You're going to be showing a lot of money, at these players, $3-plus million, basically. And you're going to have to – it might come down to which one of them kind of passes the safety test in terms of they feel that that's the safest investment based on the character of the player as well.
Yeah, you can't afford to miss at number 7. All right, great stuff, Joe, as always. This has been MLB.com Extras, Marlins Edition. For Joe Fusaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.